Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
My name is Ralph Martin. Peter Herbeck is with us. And our guest today is Bert Gezi. Bert is an author, an editor, and he has a particular devotion to, more than a devotion, a real interest in saints. And he's written a number of books on the saints. One is called The Heart of a Saint, 10 Ways to Grow Closer to God. And, you know, I like saints too, and Peter likes saints too. And this is a very interestingly put together book, Bert, really. It has a picture of a saint. There's 10 different saints, and then it has some stuff about them and about their writings and something else from another saint that's relevant to their writings. But what's really interesting is the questions at the end, you know, the think and the...
Pray and act,
you know, where you're really trying to get people to respond to these saints.
That's right. And the idea of the book was that here are 10, each saint's life illustrates one of the ways to grow closer to God. And I could have picked any saint to illustrate them. So I just picked 10 of my favorite saints and certain ones that seem to fit with, you know, putting God first in your life or prayer or study, which were the themes of the book. And so, and then after each story of a saint's life, I ask people to decide themselves, to consider their life in the context of the saint's life, pray about what they might have learned, and then do something about it. Because really the whole book is not really about the saints. It's really about the reader. The idea is you're reading about saints, but you know, the call on your life is that God made you to be a saint. And therefore, this really is about your heart and about your sanctity more than it is about Teresa Lisieux or Pier Giorgio Frassati.
It seems like, putting in that context, it seems like most folks think about, well, there's saints, and then there's this general thing like we're all supposed to be saints. We're not the kind of saints these people are going to be. This just seems beyond our reach. It doesn't seem real. I mean, are we actually called, each of us, to be this kind of saint?
Yes, and none of these people I wrote about even thought of themselves in terms of being canonized saints or blesseds or anything. They thought of themselves as, you know, like us, ordinary people like you and me, who were called to give their life to God. That what made them different about it than most people is they decided that they wanted to be a saint. They didn't want to be canonized or famous. They wanted to be holy. They wanted the Holy Spirit in them to make them holy. And they didn't want to be famous. They didn't think about fame or being on the count or being on a pedestal in church. They thought about, I want to love God above everything. I want to love my brothers and sisters above everything else. I want to serve people, and I want the Holy Spirit to make me holy.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people feel very inadequate, you know, like I can't do that, or I don't have what it takes, or I'm too worldly, or I'm too selfish, or I'm too whatever. You know, what would you say to somebody to help them kind of actually believe that this is possible for them?
Well, at the end of the book, I say, I had a dream, and three of you came to me who read the book to tell me why you couldn't be a saint. One of them came because she was too busy. She was a single mother with two kids. And she said, how could I ever be a saint? One was a young man who was too bad to be a saint. You know, he came to say, you know, I could never do it because I'm just so rotten. The third one was, I'm just too old. It's too late for me. You know, I'm too busy watching Jeopardy in the afternoon. And doing my things. And I said to them all, you know, everybody in the context of their life can be a saint, because if you say you're too busy or you're too bad or too old, you're making excuses. You're missing the opportunity. You know, Teresa of Lisieux said to her cousin, you know, all of us are called to be a saint in wherever we are in our life. And the way to do it is to say, I want to be a saint, and to let the Holy Spirit help me do a loving thing in every situation. So for the single parent mother, can be a saint as the Holy Spirit blesses her as she changes diapers, as she teaches the alphabet to her toddler, as she goes to her job, as she comes home and collapses after working hard all day. Those are the context. That's the context of her life. And it's in that context that the Holy Spirit makes her holy.
Yeah. Well, you know, people have funny ideas about what it is to be a saint. What would you describe as the essence of being a saint? Like, what is the heart of a saint that
somebody
should be aiming at?
The heart is to say, okay, I want to be holy. I want to put God first in my life. I want to love others. And then I want to do all. And the Holy Spirit does the work. The Holy Spirit is the
saint maker, basically.
Right,
the sanctifier.
The sanctifier. Yeah. Right, and then I have to do some things. I've got to respond to grace. So I need to pray. I need to be studying Scripture and reading good books. I need to be relating to brothers and sisters in some kind of community context, and I need to be doing some kind of service in whatever fits in the context of my life, mm-hmm. you know, doing some kind of serving others, maybe evangelism, maybe some kind of care for the sick or some kind of social justice thing. But mm-hmm. if I do if I pay attention to those four areas, mm-hmm. I'm responding to the grace in my life.
Repeat those four areas.
Okay.
One.
Prayer.
Two.
Studying Scripture.
Three.
Being involved in community relationships.
Four.
Service.
Okay. Elaborate a little bit on those.
Well, you know, if we're going to be a saint and the Holy Spirit's working in me, I need to be paying attention to what God is saying in my life. So I need to be spending time praying. And praying means taking some time in a regular way, like in a daily way.
You know, Bert, you know, we were taught that way back, weren't we, when we were in college? And that's really been important for us, hasn't it?
Right.
Yeah. We were told that the personal prayer is important, that we should do it, and we've been doing it more or less.
Every day.
It's really been important. Yeah,
I guess.
That's a secret, isn't it?
You know, when you think about the saints, you know, folks out there may think, well, you know, but the saints prayed so much. I mean, your Mother Teresa prayed 4 or 5 hours a day. You know, they all seem to have so much time to do that. And people say, well, I have time to pray a little bit each day, but that's all I have the time
for. That's fine. But then you pray during the day. You know, you can. One of the saints, John Cashin, says, "Oh, if you may not have time to pray as many hours as some of the saints do, but you can say, oh, God, come to my assistance. Oh, Lord, make haste to help me.' You can make the sign of the cross during the day as you're driving along. You know, instead of making other kinds of signs to drivers who cut you off, you can make the sign of the cross for them. You know, you can do things like that.
Yeah, and some of the saints." Particularly talking to people who are active in the world and weren't in monasteries where they had the opportunity to pray that much, like St. Ignatius told his priest and his brothers, you know, only pray an hour a day because you have a mission in the world and God will give you what you need for that mission. St. Francis de Sales said to busy lay people, you know, pray an hour a day, but don't pray more than an hour a day unless your spiritual director says you can, because you need to fulfill your responsibility. So many people have become saints with that kind of daily,
and maybe some people can pray 15 minutes a day, or even less than an hour a day. But whatever they do, they need to be honoring God, worship, praising the Lord, and also listening.
Yeah,
we need to be finding out what God wants us to do now. We are lay people, or priests, or nuns who need to say, "What is God saying to me now?"
Yeah, what's His will for me right now?
Because
How can I live in a way pleasing to Him?
Maybe I need to be doing something different than I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The second thing is studying Scripture, you know, and I think that Scripture study and daily prayer should be part of the same thing. We need to have a regular time to do both and a regular place to do both so it's routinized in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And in reading Scripture, we need to be saying, okay, what did the Lord say to the original reader or hearer of the Scripture, and what's He saying to me? What's He saying to me in this Scripture? If we don't understand something, we need to be using a commentary or some kind of, you know, the notes in our Bible to find out what is this text saying to me now, and what is God saying to me?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to try to remember it through the day. You know, what I've studied this morning or this afternoon. What am I going to do with it in my life?
Mm-hmm.
A harder thing, I think, is to be being sure you have some kind of regular community relationship in some kind of way.
What do you mean by community relationship?
Well, I mean anything from having some regular contact with other people in your parish, all the way up to being a part of a third order or some kind of community.
But some kind of relationships in Christ that are explicitly relationships in the Lord, where there's accountability and encouragement and life sharing that's going on. Basically, is that what you're saying?
Yes, and every saint that you read about, I've read hundreds of biographies of saints over the past 10 years. Not a one of them was a Lone Ranger.
Really? That's pretty remarkable.
I can't remember one who was a Lone Ranger.
Wow.
Some of them were isolated, mm-hmm. but even the saints that went to the desert, like Anthony, the first monk, mm-hmm. people kept coming to him.
Yeah,
he kept trying to go deeper and deeper into the desert. And finally, he gave up and he had a little community around mm-hmm. him in the desert because he couldn't be alone. Mm-hmm. Even the solitaries, even the saints who put up on poles, like Simon Stylites, he was up on that pole, but people built cabins around.
Yeah.
And they climbed up the pole to talk to him. because he basically spoke to them every day about loving others. You know, there were no isolated saints.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. Yeah. And basically, you know, Francis de Sales says the same thing. He says friendship in Christ is really important. You know, having friends in Christ.
Right.
You know, and that's been important for us over the years,
right.
hasn't it?
Right.
Really, yeah.
And Elbert of Riveau, who I wrote about in the book, wrote a book on spiritual friendship. And what he says is, the more we give ourselves to a friend and share our lives in the spirit, the more that friendship leads us to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. John Paul II used to say something very similar. And he said, you know, when the heart is awakened and falls in love with Christ, that heart, it's a spontaneous movement by the Spirit moving us to want to share that same love with others,
yeah.
to be in communion together, to share have a common friendship together in Christ.
What kind of difficulties do people run into when they, suppose somebody's saying, yeah, I'd like to be a saint, I want to be a saint, but...
Well, I think people think that saints didn't have any difficulty, that it was easy going. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I've read hundreds of biographies of saints. They all had hardships. They all had temptations. They all had weaknesses, faults, sins. They were human beings just like you and me.
That's amazing, but you really don't tend to think of them that way.
And
because they like they're a different
type.
They
pictures and everything. You know, they always look so.
One of the saints was asked when we would stop having sexual temptations. He said probably 15 minutes after we die.
Mm.
Yeah.
So there's temptation. There's hardship. There's mental anguish. There's wrongdoing. There's emotional problems.
Mm-hmm.
There's bad relationship problems with people that you love. You know, mm-hmm. getting into friction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the apostles had friction, and Benedict XVI talked about it. He said, "Neil, look at this. The apostles had frictions. Isn't that wonderful? We can see that they were human beings just like us.
Yeah.
They didn't fall out of heaven perfect.
Yeah.
They had challenges."
One of the things that I found helpful is hearing how Thérèse of Lisieux talks about falling asleep almost every time she goes to pray.
That too.
That's encouraging, isn't it?
That's right.
And then Teresa of Avila, she writes how for 14 years she couldn't pray without really using a book because her mind was like wild horses, you know. So you can be sleepy in your prayer time and you can be distracted in your prayer time and the Lord can make you a saint.
Right. One of my favorite saints is Jane de Chantal. She had mental anguish for 40 years, tempted to all kinds of, she doesn't say what it was, but serious temptations. And she said, you know, at the end of her life, you know, this has been going on for 40 years. I've been beaten down. I've been troubled. I've helped all kinds of people. She helped thousands of women live the Christian life.
Yeah.
Francis de Sales couldn't even help her because she was always having these buzzing temptations around her. But she says, do you think I'm going to stop now? I can be crushed, beaten down. I've loved him for 40 years and if it happens for more, I'm still going to persevere.
You know, a big part of this, Bert, is persevering,
yes.
isn't it? You just kind of show up for your prayer time, and you show up for your Christian service, and you show up in the lives of the people that you're supposed to love.
Right.
And if you just keep showing up, the Lord makes you into something, doesn't he, really?
You know, it makes me think a little bit about something we were talking off air, the whole area of mortification in the life of saints. When you read some of the saints, they were very much into various kinds of mortification and discipline. And so you get the sense that if you're going to get really serious about being a saint, that's got to be a significant part of your life. What do you think about that, Ralph? What do you think?
Well, you know, I think the Lord actually brought a little kind of correction to that mentality with St. Thérèse of Lisieux because mm-hmm. she says, I want to be a saint, but I don't think I've got what it takes because I don't feel attracted to some of those extreme penances. And then she asked the Lord, is there a way for somebody like me? And the Lord said, yes, there is. And what he basically said, she said, is there a shortcut for somebody like me? Because she says, I don't think I can take these big steps that I see in the spiritual mm-hmm. life. And she wondered if there's like a something like a spiritual elevator, you know, she mm-hmm. saw in the homes of 19th century.
That's right.
The quick way.
I read about it in the book, yeah.
Oh, do you? Is it in the book?
Yeah.
In 19th century French homes, there were, you know, elevators, you know, in their townhouses. Mm-hmm. And she says, I wonder if there's something like a spiritual elevator for somebody like me. And the father showed her that there is a spiritual elevator, and the spiritual elevator is the arms of Jesus. And then she says, once I took my place in the arms of Jesus, it was amazing what I was then able to see and understand. Right. And so what the father was saying was trust, surrender, believe, you know, keep on, you know, and that you don't have to model yourself on these right. examples of mortification. Then she writes later on that the mortification that the Lord was really asking of her was the mortification of herself. Well, you know, what it meant for her to pick up her cross every day and follow the Lord was say no to selfish desires, to say no to preferences, and to always choose in the direction of love, mm-hmm. love and service. The people who are driving her crazy in the convent, the mm-hmm. people who are annoying her, the people who are falsely judging her, the people who are misunderstanding her.
That doesn't happen to me,
guys. That happened
to you? There's opportunities like that all the time.
Yeah.
I think every day brings enough trouble and enough challenges and enough things I want to do but I shouldn't be doing. That I can say no to that gives me a way to pick up my cross and follow the Lord every day.
Yeah. It's almost like we have the shape of the cross for our life in the circumstances the Lord has mm-hmm. placed us in our job, in our family, mm-hmm. in our relationships, in our service. There'll be misunderstanding. There'll be unpleasant things. There'll be things we don't like to do, but we really should do. And, you know, mm-hmm. all that. And that's just saying yes to the will of God in our life is how we become transformed. Yeah.
Yeah. Claude Le Colombier, a 17th century saint, said, you know, if all the things that went wrong every day that bothered us, we say something wrong, a button comes off that shouldn't come off, a piece of furniture breaks.
Yeah, there's a fly flying around the set.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, we can't get our email and
computer glitches.
All of these things, he said, they don't seem like they'd be enough, but if we would do them with love and attention to the Holy Spirit, that'd be enough to make us saints.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Yeah. Really, the heart of a saint, and one of the things I've been struck to by also Bert, is that there's such difference in the external circumstances of saints and difference in their missions and lots of differences. But what I find that's really in common is their heart.
Yeah.
And the heart of a saint is a heart of love, isn't it?
Right.
That's really what the heart of a saint is. It's a heart of somebody who is loving God and loving their neighbor in very different circumstances and very different externals and different ages and different cultures.
Right. There's no saint is the same. The contexts are all different. And that's a message to all of us. Mm-hmm. We're all in a different context of life.
Yeah.
And we can all be sanctified by making the right choices, by loving.
Yeah.
Now, I end the book with a story about George Martin's father, who was 97 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He was a retired chemist and a very good businessman. And he broke his hip and his shoulder. And within 3 weeks, he was rehabilitated, and he was in a rehab center.
Mm-hmm.
And the social worker asked the usual questions. And the last question to George's dad was, "Well, what's your goal now?" And she thought he was going to say, "Well, I want to get back to my apartment and take care of myself like I mm-hmm. always have." He said, "To live a holy life."
Isn't that great?
To live a holy life.
Isn't that super? Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, he's never too old.
Yeah.
You
know,
And then he died shortly later. But the goal was to.
It's beautiful.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what's one of the thoughts that comes to mind is, again, it's something you have to choose and you have to desire, isn't it? It's not something that just happens.
Right.
It's not something that just happens. You really got to want that as a goal in your life.
You
got to really got
to
want.
Yeah. You have to. You have to take that as your goal.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You have to take it. Say, Lord, what does it mean to want this? How do I express it? You've talked earlier in the show about it, but I think that's what's sticking in my heart the most from our conversation is just that you got to want it.
Yeah.
I was recently reread Merton's Seven Story Mountain, and at one point in his life, before he was living a holy life, he was enjoying plays and reading books and becoming a philosopher. A Jewish friend said to him, "Tom, what are you going to be?" He said, "Probably I'll teach philosophy." He said, "You should want to be a saint." I said, "Jewish guy,
yeah.
Why should you want to be a saint?" "I can't be a saint." "Of course you can. You just choose to be a saint, and the Holy Spirit will make you one." And look what happened to Merton. Yeah. He did it. He did it. You know.
Yeah.
He did
it. Yeah. No, I think that's an excellent point, Peter and Bert. a lot of times we don't really formulate a goal for our life.
Right.
You know, we don't really get clear about what we really want or what we're about. We may we have secondary goals, or we want to we want to retire at a certain age, or we want this or that, or we want to learn Italian, or we want to, you know, whatever, go to Europe, or, you know, all different kinds of goals, you know. But really to kind of make an explicit conscious decision to say, I want to be a saint, and that's not pride.
No. That's what God made us to be.
Yeah.
He made us to be saints.
Exactly. And a lot of people say, oh, that's too high for me. But that's kind of contradicting God.
Right.
Because the whole purpose for our creation, as you said, is for us to be with God forever in heaven. And that means being a saint, because the only kind of people who are in heaven are saints. Yeah. Now, don't get scared by that, because it doesn't mean you have to be a canonized saint, but you do have to be somebody who finally and fully and completely accepts the will of God and has been transformed into love. You know, that's has to happen for all of us. Right. So it's not pride to say, I want to be a saint. It's obedience.
It's our mission. It's why we were created.
Yeah, it really is. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think it's kind of too far above them, but that's the whole reason why we're living on the face of the earth, is to make the journey towards full holiness.
I think people, sometimes that same attitude is applied to the purgatory, heaven. Most people say, well, you know, for me to shoot for heaven or think about heaven is either too proud or it's too beyond me. Yeah. And I'm hoping to get my foot into purgatory.
You know, don't shoot for purgatory, because if you don't make purgatory, the opportunity there is for
you. Yeah, if you don't make purgatory, you're in trouble. Yeah. But somehow we don't feel free to just say, I'm shooting for the mountaintops. Yeah. I'm shooting for heaven. I want to, like, and the saints do that. They said, I just can't wait to see him. That's where I'm going. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to do with my life. Yeah. Instead of saying, well, you know, you're not me, and I don't know, maybe I can get into purgatory, maybe there's enough prayers that can be said for me that I can make it to purgatory, instead of just having our hearts just filled with the desire to see God and taste the goodness of God, you know, live with him.
And a lot of it is kind of hearing what the Lord is saying to us, because the Lord is clearly calling us to holiness. I mean, he sums up his whole teaching, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, you know, be perfect as a human being is capable of being perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's in the context of love, because just before that, he says, the Father has his rainfall on the just and the unjust, you know, and, you know, you know, don't just love those who love you, but love, you know? And so it's an invitation to say yes to love, which is saying yes to holiness.
And I don't think that was so much, that's more of an invitation than a command. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And if you choose it, it'll happen.
Yeah.
I'll make it. I'll do it with you.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we feel like the call to holiness is a burden, but it's not a burden. It's a blessing. Like Jesus is calling us to holiness because he wants us to know his joy and for our joy to be full. It's not like a burden he's laying on us. It's a blessing he wants to offer us, because we can't make ourselves holy. Only God can make somebody holy, because only God is holy. But he wants to make us holy. He wants to give us a gift. He wants to share his joy with us. He wants to make us happy, and we can't be happy without being holy.
I think that's another piece that sometimes is missed when people think about the saints, that the image they get is maybe they seem kind of, can seem grim, super serious, somber, all those kinds of things, when in fact their lives, they're just experiencing white hot kind of joy, and there's a vitality and a dynamism in their life that,
That's why I ended the book with Pier Giorgio Frassati. It's a chapter called Joy, and it's called The Normal Christian Life, because he was a, you know, he has so much love by young people, because he was an ordinary guy. Well, ordinary, if ordinary means putting God first and loving him above all, but he was of a life of the party. He was an athlete. He climbed mountains. Mm-hmm. But when he climbed a mountain, he had his friends with him stop and pray the rosary. Mm-hmm. The young people love him because they see in him enjoying life, but putting God first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bert, thanks so much for being with us today. And thanks so much
for
writing this book, The Heart of a Saint. And thanks for your faithfulness all these years and your love and friendship and brotherhood to us.
Yeah. And thank you for having me.
Okay. Until next week, this is Ralph Martin and Peter Herbeck and Bert Gezi, and this tremendous cloud of witnesses, our brothers and sisters, the saints, who are wishing you the very best, a life of saying yes to the Lord, a life of daily faithfulness, a life that gradually grows in love.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin. Mm-hmm.